in the post-care system, like, it's a hard journey. And if I don't have someone around me, I don't think I can make it. So for me, I wanted to say, it is our community. If our kids in the community have nowhere to go, it affects everyone. So how can I include everyone in my journey? Because it's not just my child. This is our community. And if we can come alongside each other, we get to make a difference. So I'm not an alien. There's nothing special about me. I'm able to do what I do because of my village. The village that comes along, the village that inspires me. When I'm down and I'm doubting myself, the village will say, Peter, you can do it.
This is Fostering Conversations with Utah Foster Care, where we have insightful conversations about parenting for bio, foster, adoptive, or blended families to better understand the experiences we all face as families.
Hey, this is Amy, and we are joined with Peter today for our Fostering Conversation. Peter is also known as Foster Dad Flipper on Instagram. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. And he also has a foundation called Now I Am Known. So we want to just have you introduce yourself, Peter, and tell us, why did you get into fostering and what is the current dynamic of your family right now?
Right. Well, my name is Peter Mtabazi. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've been a foster dad for the last 9 years. And I love it. I have adopted three, and I have also three foster children. So from the age between 3 and 20, so it's a busy house. I got one actually like a few days ago. So as you all know, foster care, there's no plan. When that phone call comes and you feel you have room and you really can do, you always say yes. I tell people that there's no formula when it comes to foster care. Like, it really is more of, hey, I'm open to do whatever I'm possibly can do as a family. And that's what it's been for me. And it's really been a joy.
How many children do you think you've cared for over the years?
As of today, 45.
Wow.
Yes.
I love that. And I love the, yes, you never know. I had 7 kids total last week and I'm back down to 5 today. So I totally get the fluctuating numbers. And how long they'll be there, nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Yes.
So that's awesome. Why did you get involved in foster care 9 years ago?
I'm originally from Uganda. So for me, when I came to the United States, I really struggled seeing the wealth. House people had so much, but yet there was people who had so little. So for me, my first shock was amount of food that I saw being thrown away. Because where I come from, I had never had 2 meals a day. We're poor. I come from a world of the poor of the poorest, where life was miserable in every shape form you could imagine. Think about it. If you don't have a meal to feed your children, how do you tell them to be hopeful? So that's what I grew up. So when I came to the United States and saw how much food was thrown away, I think the question was, wait a minute, you have so much to throw away, but yet there's some people who have no place to live and have to, something to eat. So for me, that really convicted me, like, hey, rather than point a finger, rather than accuse others, when one day I have an extra bedroom, when one day I can take care of someone, I would like to do so. But I have traveled over the world. I had never seen a Black person who was adapting in my country or anywhere. So I believed the lie, like, you have to be white, you have to be married in order to do so. So that's what I believed. So for me, once I knew I can do something, I went to the foster care. I said, hey, is there a way you could allow me to be a mentor to teenagers? Because I thought, at least that's the one thing they can allow me to do, just for an hour every week. So the social worker who received me said, hey, have you ever thought of being a foster dad? I was like, yes, I think about that every day, but I'm not qualified. And she said, why? I said, I'm single. Come on, 30% of our foster moms are single. You can be. And so it was on a Monday. On Thursday, I signed up to be a foster parent. And for me, it was more really too much is given, much required. Like, I felt I had been given so much that I wanted to do something for others. And once I knew I could, I mean, it's been truly a roller coaster that has no end to it, but bumpy, but amazing in every shape form. I would say the best decision I made in my entire life to truly be that dad, because I've always wanted to be a dad.
I love that.
Yeah. And it's probably a great decision for the kids you've cared for too. I mean, that decision hasn't just affected you, but so many children.
Correct. And their parents as well. I think for those listening, sometimes, yes, there's sometimes where we only foster children. But sometimes when we also come alongside their parents, that we get to really be their hands and feet and show them too the different way of parenting, but also the uniqueness of their children and how they can truly be there for them when they are willing to walk with us and welcome us in their arms for sure.
I love that. I love that you talk about being a foster dad a lot on your Instagram, and you've mentioned it today. being a single foster dad, what have been like the things that have been really hard as a single parent with six kids? And what have been the things that are like, oh my gosh, only a single parent could do this? What things have you seen?
Well, I think for me, the hardest part, when you're a single parent, you don't have someone else to say, am I going crazy? Oh, something, you know, you don't have someone to bounce through. You think about it, and then you look for your own wisdom, and you come to the decision to say, well, I gotta listen to my child. Now I have teenagers, but when they were little, it was really difficult. When one is sick, you don't have to take everyone with you. Like, I don't have someone to stay home and say, hey, can you stay with this one? I'm like, hey, you, and you're coming with me to the hospital, or even to the grocery store. I can't, again, I'm not saying my teenagers are bad kids, but I don't want to give them the responsibility of taking care of kids at this point. Like, I get to take all my kids everywhere. And that was probably the hardest part to do. Or I'm not feeling well and I need just a little break to somehow recoup. It's hard when they're looking at you and they're like, Dad, I want food. I want to go to school. I want to go to the park. Can we go now? Probably that's been the most challenge. But the blessing is, I think for me, again, I just took in a teenager yesterday. But all I needed was, I asked my kids, hey, there's someone who needs a place to be. Can we take this child in? And my kids said yes. So I didn't have someone else to haggle with and say, I'm like, it was easy to say yes. When it comes to decision making, it's a little easy for me to do it because I'm the only parent. The other part is, as a parent, my children have the same answer. So there's no one person where they say, I can go here and find another way. I'm just the one parent has the same rules to everyone. So they go across everyone's up. I feel like they don't really struggle figuring out what dad would say because they know in a way. And I think that thing for me that has been easy and consistent because they have the same dad, that have the same rules, the same expectation, that it's not easy, but I think familiar with them, that they don't really have to guess. Yeah. And I think that has been really a blessing in a way.
Yeah.
And then for me being a dad, again, most, not in a negative way, but most kids in foster care have never had a dad. So I think for me, being the dad, that has really changed the way they view the world, because they all wanted a dad. All of them had never had a dad. And I think having me as a dad has been like, this is what we all wanted. So in a way, there's some things that they're willing to do or willing to listen, because I think they just longed for a dad, and I happen to be that dad in a way.
Yes, I've seen that with the kids that have come into our home. We've only had one dad involved with the 19 kids that I've had through my home. And it is, these kids want that male father figure. And so I love that you're able to provide that. That's really beautiful. I love that.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So you talked about having to go to the doctor or take all the kids or grocery shopping. What support systems have you built to help you do what you do?
So again, for me, I came in knowing it's a hard journey and I needed help. I changed my job because I needed a job where I can be there for my kids at all times. A job where I was my own boss, knowing that if my kids need therapy, I can show up. If my kids need, you know, visitation, I can show up. If my kids are kids at school, I can go pick them up and do all of this. So I looked for a job that will allow me to do so. And that for me has really been helpful in some way. But also too, I knew there are things I cannot do. I'm from Uganda. When it comes to cooking American food, I'm not quite familiar. So I really go to look for moms and I say, look, I am going to admit humility, like saying, hey, I'm not sure I know how to make the best mac and cheese and scrambled eggs. Would you teach me, you know? And they would come and teach me. And I think that helped for them to see me like, wait a minute, I'm not a foster parent, but I can help him be the best parent he can be. That they felt, hey, I'm contributing in some way. And for me, I go to church. I don't go to married couple groups. I go to singles. Why? Because I feel that they have time to help me. So in some way, if I need diapers at 3 a.m, I can call someone and say, hey, I need diapers tonight. They're able to do things. I have teenagers who I knew having other adults in their lives, like to play video games, like go to the movies. And single men and girls I feel like they have more time to do so. So for me, I did seek out those who I knew can fill in the gaps where I needed. I have two daughters that I wanted them to have good female models. So they take them for nail. Girls' night, yeah, they go. I just say, use my credit card, just use it as you wish, you know?
Sign me up. I want to be that role model.
And giving tangible ways, or people are afraid of foster care, ways on how they can really make impact. And I've noticed like close proximity when they meet my kids and they take me like, oh my God, this is really awesome. What more can I do? And that was my intentional way of looking for people who I knew I need help. And I'm going to admit, I'm not asking for, hey, when you think about it, no, I need help. And here's how you can help. I think people figuring that out has really made it easy to come alongside me and say, yeah, Peter, we can help. I can call about five babysitters. We'll say, I'll be there in an instant.
That's awesome.
Because I intentionally made friends, but also voiced out my need. Hey, this really means a lot to me. Could you please help me in this way?
So I think you share a really good point for foster families. Like, we have to reach out. We have to ask for the help. We have to let people know where they can best support us as foster families. What would you say to someone that's listening that's saying, oh, I can't foster, that's scary, I'm not brave enough to take 5 or 6 or 12 kids, but, you know, what can they do for a foster family? You've touched on that, but what would you say to a listener that maybe doesn't know a foster family? How could they get involved still, do you think?
Right. I'm from Africa. I didn't tell you a little bit of my story, but I was a street kid because I came from an abusive family. So I ran away and became a street kid. And through the kindness of a stranger who saw me, I was trying to steal from him, but he saw the best in me and took me in and changed my life. So for me, yes, I'm a foster dad, but it's really for me because I was one of them at some point. And that was what has helped me be the best parents I can be. So for me, that's one thing that I want to share with people. Sometimes our past is the field. Where I come from, I don't think I'm well equipped to be a foster parent. Well, I was none of that. The worst, I didn't have any example of a good dad, but the kindness of stranger changed my life. So sometimes the fears that we've endured in our childhood, sometimes we say, because I grew up this way, I cannot. My favorite are the ones who say, I don't think I have enough energy, enough heart to give the child back. Maybe a touch, I don't know. But I would say, actually, you're the best parent we need. The one that is willing to get attached. The one is willing to show our kids how normal that is. So sometimes what you're afraid of is actually what works for our kids. So that's one way I can say. The other way is, Africans, we say it takes a village to raise a child. Yes, we can't all be forced parents. I can assure you, we cannot all be forced parents. But we can all do something along the way. So for me, people who give to charities that help me, that if I need tutor, they help me get a tutor and they pay for it. That's maybe another way you can do that. To some who have time, not time to give to me as a foster parent, but to time to show up at an agent and say, hey, what do you need? It's Christmas coming. How can we help sort out and pay for things? Some of them have Amazon wish lists. Hey, what? Every month I get paid. How can I really come alongside and add value to this wish list for the kids that they need? Or sometimes just show up to, I usually tell people, hey, don't call me and say, Peter, what do you want? But when you are at the grocery store, to say, Peter, I'm at the grocery store right now. What do you need? Yeah. I would tell you.
Love that.
Yeah, I would tell you, get me eggs, get me juice, and get me milk.
Sure. Milk. You know. Always.
And that's the best way people can really help. The other part is, because we are engaged and involved in our children's life, and it's really difficult. And sometimes we don't remember to call. We don't remember who suggests to us, like, hey, if you need something, I'll give it to you. And so they wait for a call. And I would say, our journeys are so difficult and so, they change in instant sometimes. But rather than wait for that, to keep, not give up, but just keep calling. We'll say, hey, Peter, what do you need? And as I said, don't say, what can I get? You say, what day can I drop pizza for you? I'll tell you, if you haven't heard from me after calling 4 times, I'm not ignoring you. But my life is more like, I'm more like a firefighter, always taking up fires, to not give up, but to still call me. The other part is to encourage us. Like, I love, as a male who's the only parent, when a man says, hey, can we meet someday for dinner? I'm like, yeah, can we do it tomorrow? And they're like, tomorrow? Yes, because I need that. I need another human being that I, not like I'm complaining, but just to listen, to have that adult talk where I feel seen and heard. Mm-hmm. So our moms get to really do that. If you're a mom and you have extra little dollars, take her for a nail, take the mom for a nail, or just a little talk. You don't have to ask us the details of our children, but just for someone to come alongside and say, hey, we'll care for you. Here's the other thing too. Most people want to help the children, but they never remember that we as adults actually need more help, I would say. My kids will always eat. My kids will always have a backpack to school. My kids will always have all those needs. But for me, I hardly have someone to pour a cup in my glass to be full. So for those who are listening, to remember that we, yes, we are adults, But sometimes we need actually a little bit more help than our kids. A little glimpse, a little hope, a little encouragement to like, hey, how can I encourage you? What are you struggling with? That really helps us stay being foster parents. That's why we lose most of foster parents, because we burn out. But when we have people come alongside and see the best in us and encourage us, we stay put. And so if you're listening there and someone, you might not even know someone, but you know an agency. You might not know the agency, but you could ask someone alongside, someone that needs help, that we can be there, especially during this season. We need that. Christmas, Thanksgiving, Father's Day, Mother's Day as the hardest days for my kids.
Yes.
While others are celebrating and looking up to that, I want you to remember, to you is a celebration, but to us sometimes is the hardest time to be a parent. So if you can remember and be there for us and say, hey, how can I help? I think that would be really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. And realizing that the well-being of the parent, foster parent or their original parent, is so linked to the well-being of the kids. The kids will never be doing better if the parents aren't doing better.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's such a good point, to be helping and loving and caring for the foster parents. Like these extra kids that I have last week, their case was tragic, which most of the kids that are coming to us are, right? They shouldn't be with a stranger, but they are. And I think that's a really good point, to be supporting the foster parents, because we are the ones that know the ins and outs of these cases and what these kids are going through. And we can't share those details, but it does weigh very heavy on us. And it is very hard to take care of these kids and know what they've endured or know the reasons that they're in our care. And that can weigh really heavy on us. So I love that aspect that you're sharing, to also reach out to the foster parents and see what they need to. That's amazing. I love that. So your social media has a huge following, and it's just very fun and interactive, I feel like, entertaining to follow, but it's also very informative and educational. So what prompted you to kind of start that Instagram channel?
I have three things that would encourage me. One, I come from Uganda. I told you I didn't know I could be a dad because I thought you only have to be white or Caucasian. So I wanted to really change the narrative of that. The other part is I wanted to show my kids don't look like me. They are all Caucasian kids. But I wanted to show when you care and our kids what they need, like it doesn't really matter. Like they just need a dad and they need a mom. That's it. The other part was when I was going through the training, everyone looked at me like, are you crazy? And I was like, wait, I'm not crazy. I want to do this. And that's when I realized, wait a minute. There's so many people like me who are men or even women. They never thought they have the opportunity to do so. So for me, I wanted to journey with them and show them, hey, here's how I parent. Here are things that we get to do. Here's what it looks like. The other part is like, I found so much negative stories about foster care. And I wanted to change that narrative. Like I wanted to have an opportunity to really, in some way, like open the cut, like peel the curtain a little so you can peep into my world. That for me, I wanted to use my social media for that reason. So from the get-go, I said, I'm going to inspire, but I'm going to let people into my life so they can see the scary stories they've had. Like, yes, they're there, but it's not every child. So to see my kids go shopping, to see my kids talk, to see my kids play, to see the teenagers live and fun, that I wanted to kind of really take off that stigma and show the positive side of foster care. And so for me, that's been my journey. And that's what I love, really showing and being honest at the same time, not just saying I'm going to shy away. No, absolutely. When they go, I'll cry for days. When some trauma shows up, there are holes I have to punch in my house. But that does not take away the love and care that we have for the list of these. Like, we love them that much. And I get to do so along the way. The other part too, most people see their bio parents as villains. And for me, trying to say that's not true. So to show the relationship that I have with parents, to see my kids go back home and come down, to see all those little intrigues sometimes that they don't understand, they'll be able to be helped. The other part, I have been called on by police, like, I don't know, 7-11 times. Because people thought, is that true? Can that be? Okay, here's what my life is. I am no different than any other mom or any other dad. And to change the narrative of what they think of family, on how we receive kids. Some people think we go to the room and say, you yes.
Oh my gosh, it's so true.
They have watched Instant Family, and that's the thing how we get kids. I'm like, no. So for me, like right now, I'm journeying with them. I'm telling them, hey, he's like, well, we received this child, this teenager, but I had to show how I received the phone call. The next video today will be what I prepared for the child to come, and the next is the child come. Like, they get to see the whole journey of how kids come in a way. So for me, that's why I use my social media. But also, I think I wanted to inspire others. There are so many moms and so many women and men who want to be dads and moms, but they're still waiting for Mr. Special and Mrs. Special. And for me, I'm like, no. If you want to be a mom, you don't have to wait for that man to come. He might never come. If you're...
I love it.
I wanted to say, hey, here's what I'm living my life. If one day I get married, hey, kudos. But I am not missing out on truly being a dad and being there for that child. Mm-hmm. And that's why for me, the social media has been really key in really inspiring others and showing how it can be done.
That's so great.
Yeah. Love it. Awesome. What about the flipper part? Tell us how that became a part of your story.
So I used to work for a charity that really cared for children all over the world. So because I wanted to be a full-time dad, I said, I'm going to look for a job that gives me the opportunity. So that was flipping houses. So I was like, moved to Oklahoma to be a foster dad and flipped houses. I still do so because it gave me the opportunity to be able to do that, but also be full-time. But also too, a way that I get to bring my kids alongside. They choose the painting. They choose the what plants we should. Like, I don't know. I just wanted my kids to be involved in my day-to-day life, especially for my teenagers, and equip them. Hey, here's how we get a renter. Here's when they move out, what they do to the house. And for me, that's why I became a foster dad flipper. Most people think I flip children. Yes, in a way, because I take care of them and let them go back to their parents.
Oh, gosh.
And let them go back.
And hopefully they're better.
Let them go back to their parents. I don't know. But that's how it came about.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. I never thought about that connotation of the word.
Funny. Oh, my goodness.
The more I have and the more they can go back home, the more I can help. So
there you go. So real quick, you started out because you wanted to be a dad and you knew there were kids who needed a dad, whether it was temporary or permanent. But where did you get that heart for the parents of the kids that you seem to have?
Yes. So I was a street kid from the age of 10 to 15. And I would hear people pass by the street and call us like, those garbage kids. What awful parents, like, let them be. So, but the same abuse I received as a child are the same abuse my mother received. So there was no way she can protect me. And I felt that maybe they did not understand. I saw them as villains because I equated them to my father. But then one day when my first child wasn't feeling well, so I couldn't call a social worker. And I knew someone can help me. But I had a phone call for the mom. So I called the mom. I said, hey, your little one is wheezing. What should I do? And so she told me what to do. The following morning, and the kid was okay. And the following morning, she called and said, Peter, thank you for letting me be a mom for 5 minutes, you know? Yeah. And right, the switch went off. Wait, no, she's not a villain. She's my co-parent. We're in together. And that really changed from the get-go of really seeing them as parents. But also, too, that I realized, yes, I had resources because someone helped me. I wasn't wanted. I was seen as the worst kid on the planet because I was a thief and dirty. And I think that's how sometimes we view our parents. And for me, I wanted to be that parent that can really see them as human beings and come alongside them and show them resources that I'm able to learn how to be a parent. And for me, that has been probably the greatest opportunity. If every child I have could go back to mom and dad, it would be the best place for me as a foster parent. And for those who don't, I want to be their final parent. So for me, I think it's easy to judge a mom. For me, as a male, at least, here's why. I've never seen anyone hold accountable to men. We always go to mom. We always blame the mom for the wrong things they did. And for me, I didn't want to be that because that's what I saw my mom. And I said, we have to have empathy to these moms. You have 4 kids. You don't have where to sleep or don't have a job. And you can't sleep. And someone say, hey, if you take this pill, it's going to help you sleep. And then you sleep. And then the next day you go back for the next pill. And 6 months later, you can survive or live without it. Well, did she go in just so she can be addicted to that? I don't think so. But because there was no one to come alongside, there wasn't someone she can count on come alongside. But somehow she ended up there. Then I have to have that empathy as well to love them and care for them and love their kids in every way, shape, form. That is the greatest thing I could ever do. Seeing them as human beings.
So beautiful.
Because that's how someone saw me.
And what a gift to their kids for you to see their mothers, their fathers as valuable human beings.
Yes.
I am with you. So I wish all the kids could go home. So I love that you have that passion too. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your foundation as we start wrapping up?
Yes, absolutely. So again, I really have a passion for teenagers. And I realize some of our teenagers don't really have a place to call home. So for me, I created Now I'm Known Foundation to do room makeovers for teenagers. Remember, I flip houses. So I am good also at flipping rooms to make sure that we can give them a room of their choice. their color and equip it with everything they chose themselves. If they love want that. Their room purple and the parents are willing, we'll paint it purple. To have that sense of, I have a decision to make in where I live and I get to choose what I want because I want it. I feel people want to give. Every time I have a teen, they're like, hey, I have clothes I don't need anymore. Do you need them? Like, it's always what nobody wanted. And I think right. for me, that just left a bitter taste towards my kids that they always felt I'm unwanted, unloved, and I get to have the same things when people give me. That I wanted to make that difference. So that's why we created Now I'm Known Foundation to truly do that for teenagers and for foster parents as well. There's some foster parents who are single or just adopted kids, but they have kids and they have no room to paint it the way they want. And I say, hey, what if I can take care of that? So you can take care of your children. That's give them the room they deserve and put the things that you need as a foster mom or as an adoptive parent to do that for them. And so that is what I'm really keen and raise money for, to truly make a room makeover for especially our teens, foster parents, and adoptive parents.
Love it.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure to put a link in the show notes to your foundation and to your Instagram page too.
Thank you.
Yeah. One of the teens I had that lived with me, we let her paint her room however she wanted, and it was quite interesting what she chose. So I love that you give that freedom to these kids and that ability, because I really do think it makes a huge difference. I love that passion and that gift that you're giving to kids. That's really cool.
Absolutely. Every time we get a child, I don't give them, yes, there are beddings there, but I always prefer to take them to pick up their beddings because I want them to feel, this is my room. And if everything in that room doesn't belong to them, they will never feel at home. But if that picture is mine, this is my room.
Totally. Yeah.
Small little things that make a difference in the child's life.
It does. It really does. I love that.
Their own space. And just real quick, before we finish, you've used the phrase come alongside several times. And I love the imagery of that. How did that phrase come to be part of the way you approach your work?
Maybe as an African, the sense of community, like we live so close to each other and we help one another. Most people can't afford salt, so you go get salt for your neighbor. Some people don't have firewood, so you go get a little fire from your neighbor. The same way I approach, I really wanted to do in the post-care system, like it's a hard journey. And if I don't have someone around me, I don't think I can make it. So for me, I wanted to say, it is our community. If our kids in the community have nowhere to go, it affects everyone. So how can I include everyone in my journey? Because it's not just my child. This is our community. And if we can come alongside each other, we get to make a difference. So I'm not an alien. There's nothing special about me. I'm able to do what I do because of my village. The village that comes along, the village that inspires me. When I'm down and I'm doubting myself, the village will say, Peter, you can do it. And sometimes it's a little comment from someone in India or in Brazil says, you got this. I wanted to truly always include the people that have enabled me to do so. I would not be where I am and do what I do without those people who have come alongside me. Again, it takes a village to raise a child. And whatever way you can come in, doesn't matter. You give money, you show up at podcasts, the little things that get to do, that get to really impact not just my children, but all the kids and all the foster farmers and all that are struggling through our villages, who are our community.
Love that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think that's the definition of foster care. These are all of our kids and we can all support and be part of the village in different ways. So thank you so much for taking time to chat with us and to share your passion. We'll make sure to link all of the things that you do in our podcast so that people can check that out. And we hope that everybody's already following you. But if they're not, Foster Dad Flipper, such a great Instagram to follow. So fun and educational. So thank you so much, Peter, for your time today. We really appreciate it.
And thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do. And we're grateful that you are a voice. You get to make sure that we are seen, heard, and known. And we thank you for that.
Absolutely. Thank you. So excited to learn more.
This has been Fostering Conversations with Utah Foster Care. Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to utahfostercare.org. We'll see you next time.